Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria. Now here's your host, Victoria Gaither.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for taking the time to join me tonight on At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, your television host and media personality, as well as journalist. And again, I'm just so glad that you are here with us tonight on the show. And we are talking Oscars. We're talking Oscars, and we're also talking the Indie Awards. The first part of the show, a gentleman named Joe Carden from the American Red Cross Association National Capital Region in D.C. is going to be joining us because he is going to talk about what I consider to be a very cool event that I believe that they've been doing for the last couple of years. And it's an Oscar event on the red carpet. It's their fourth annual Oscar night event. So Joe's going to be on in a couple of minutes to talk to us about that and to see if there's still any tickets left for this hot event, because I have not been to the event myself, but I have heard that it's a lot of fun to be at. And it is being taking place at the National Museum of Women in Arts in Washington, D.C. So Joe's going to be on in a couple of minutes to talk to us about that. The second half of the show, entertainment co-host as well as producer, Michael Kay is going to join in on the conversation. Michael is just back from New York City. He covered the Indie Awards, the Indie Soap Opera Awards, and our very good friends Steve Silverman and the cast of Pretty received a couple of awards, and Michael is going to chat with us about that, and also about his experience in New York and how that was for him on the red carpet covering the award program itself. But again, let's go ahead and kick off the conversation. Again, Joe Carden is going to join us, and I'm excited about having him on the show. Joe, hey, thanks a lot so much for being here with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I kind of bugged you a little bit, I know, through Facebook and you and I going back and forth being on the show, but your event caught my attention for two reasons. I'm a very big supporter of the American Red Cross, and also the second reason, it was close to Oscars, which are going to be coming on television this week, and everybody's been seeing all the commercials about it. So I thought that sounded like that was a very great fit, American Red Cross and Oscar. So tell us a little bit about the event.
Well, the event is it's one of 52 events throughout the country. The Oscar or the Academy Awards allow 52 organizations to raise money for themselves using the brand and the idea of an Oscar night, all the 50 states plus Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. And in this case, for the obvious reason, the Red Cross does so much for our community here in Washington, has been allowed to kind of co-brand with the Academy Awards over the last 4 years. The event this year is, as you said, at the National Museum of Women in the Arts, and it's this Sunday, obviously to correspond with the Oscar night on TV. It's a exceptional black tie event that allows Washington elite professionals as well as local celebrities to come together and celebrate a momentous night in film.
You know, and that was one of the things, Joe, that I thought about when I first saw the invitation and the invite on Facebook. I thought, my goodness, there's going to be a lot of good-looking people there at that event tonight. I'm sure the guys in their tux and all the beautiful women that is going to be wearing their beautiful gowns and dresses there for the event. So now so the event itself, what does the event comprise of?
Well, it follows along the evening. We have a large screen and multiple flat screen TVs throughout the Women in the Arts Museum, which is a two-tiered art gallery that follows kind of a high Renaissance Italian kind of theme to it, with marble staircase, and it's quite a beautiful place. And the idea is that throughout the night we will kind of bring people's attention to certain awards that are going to be giving out. We'll have an auction and raffle for different items, and the idea is really just to have fun and enjoy something that we all like, which is film.
Yeah, and I was just thinking that I know everybody's just going to have a fun time. And one thing, Joe, I did a show, I want to say it was a couple of months ago, and I was talking about Washington, D.C., and it was interesting because I think a lot of people only just sort of, if you live outside of D.C. and other states, you just sort of think of it as government with not a lot of personality and not a lot of fun. But people in Washington, if you know anything about the city, love events, love charity events, and love fundraising events. So I'm sure you guys aren't having any problems getting anybody to come to this event.
No, not at all. We, you know, it's there are a lot of people in the city who have come to Washington because they want to do something for their country. And this is an opportunity for a lot of the folks in this area to do something for their local community, because the American Red Cross has been instrumental in a lot of the, you know, a lot of local disasters. They've responded to almost 500 local disasters just in our local area this year, which includes fires, emergency food, shelter, different types of supplies. They do education, and it's important to appreciate as well. This is something that's very unique for the Red Cross here in the National Capital Region, is that they work with the armed forces stationed away from home and work with their families so that they can help communicate better and provide assistance. It's over they provide 19,000 services and assistance to over 1,000 military families.
Wow. So, I that part about it, I did not know. Very, very, very impressed. And, you know, Joe, one thing, too, just about the American Red Cross in itself, it's, you know, I think as we, as Americans, and not even Americans, I guess sort of the entire world community, always, you know, sort of look for the American Red Cross whenever there's any type of disaster. So especially me being in the television business, whenever there's any type of national disaster, like, you know, for example, Haiti, you always expect to see that there's going to be somebody there from the American Red Cross on hand who's going to help out in any single way possible. So I guess I kind of feel like the American Red Cross is really just sort of like a fabric of America. It's sort of like apple pie, you know, it's there, and it's you know, it's always there, and we certainly depend on it.
Well, and it's a unique organization in and of that it fills a gap that the government, you know, our government can't do everything for everybody. And in disasters, a lot of times the government can help with security and can help with bringing in supplies after the impact of the event. But in a lot of cases, the Red Cross are the first people on the ground. They're the ones that are out there when a house down through the street burns down. They're the first people there after the firemen, to assist those people in finding a place to spend the night and making sure that they are, you know, their relatives are contacted and all those things that corporate America doesn't do and the government doesn't do. They fill that gap between all of your vendors, like your insurance and all that kind of stuff, and what the government can do. They fill that gap, which in a lot of cases tends to be what people remember the most as well, because that's, you know, it's having someone that cares about you.
And you are very right when you talk about filling that gap, because as you were discussing that, I was thinking of a story when I one of my first jobs when I was a television reporter was in the Midwest, and the Midwest, they have, you know, just so many hurricanes there all the time, and I had the opportunity to cover my first hurricane. So Joe, that was my really first experience and going to an area that has just been devastated. I mean, you know, buildings are down, houses are just, you know, completely in shambles. You know, your entire house from your living room to your bedroom is just thrown all across acres and acres of land. And that was my first experience where really having the opportunity to see hands-on what the American Red Cross does, because they were the first people that were there, as I remember, on location, sort of setting up different areas for medical help, for food, for shelter, for every single thing possible. And I just remember at that time I was a little bit younger than what I am now, but I remember just sort of taking all of that in and just being in awe that they have the ability to be able to come in instantly like that and just basically set up shop, you know?
Right. And the thing to remember, too, is that 99% of the people that you will see with the Red Cross stuff on are volunteers. And I think that's
yeah.
a unique aspect to it as well. These are people that are your neighbors that feel that being there for their neighbors is part of being a community. And the Red Cross allows for that engagement to happen. And when we do events like our Oscar night, that gives the funding necessary, and not just the funding, but the visibility as well, to make sure that the regular person down the street knows that, you know, the Red Cross just doesn't take blood, for example, or just give health and safety services, which a lot of people, that's how they think of the Red Cross. The Red Cross is actually there coordinating volunteers so that when disasters happen to you or your neighbors, that, they're there for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, again, that was just very, very amazing to me as a young reporter, again, to be able to see that that organization was able to come in there and literally sort of set up shop with tents and, you know, every single thing possible that they needed and get those people in place to get out there and actually take care. So I remember sort of being there doing live shots in the morning and then coming back for the evening newscast. And what was amazing was by the time I sort of got back there to do the evening newscast, most of the people that, as I recall, in that community, they had already found places for them to stay that night. So it was just, you were really just in awe to see all of that happen in sort of the course of, you know, from the time that I was there until the time that I went back that evening, and just to have that comfort factor of those people there, you know, knowing that, yes, I'm going to have a place to sleep, not only tonight, but, you know, the next couple of weeks until we can figure out what's going to happen and we can actually work through this. And, again, for those of you that are joining us, again, thank you so much for being here. I'm talking to Joe Carden. He's with the American Red Cross Association, the National Capital Region, and that's in the D.C. area. Joe was kind enough to join me tonight to talk about a Oscar night event at the National Museum of Women in Arts. And that event, of course, is to help raise money for local projects in the Washington, D.C. area. So, again, we want to thank him so much for taking his time out this night to be here. And that is the fourth annual Oscar Night America on Sunday, February the 27th, at the National Museum of Women and Arts. And that's at 1250 New York Avenue Northwest in Washington, D.C. So a lot of fun that's going to be taking place that night, but also, more importantly, a lot of money that needs to be raised for a very important event. Joe, let me ask you this quick question. We do get questions in as the show goes along, and there's a young lady in New Jersey who is heavily involved in the American Red Cross, and she says that the Red Cross does good work, and she said that she got started. Shannon is her name. Shannon says that she got started with the American Red Cross as a child. That was something that her family did in terms of volunteering for their community. So how do you get involved in the American Red Cross in the D.C. Area Region Chapter?
Well, I work at the Homeland Security and Defense Business Council, which is an organization of companies who do work for the Department of Homeland Security. Obviously, the Department of Homeland Security has a mandate for protection, but also preparedness through the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And so the council, my employer, we began a relationship with the Red Cross to take the knowledge of some of our larger companies in the idea of business continuity and preparedness and work with the American Red Cross and their community to teach some of the small and medium-sized companies and businesses in the local area about the importance of preparedness and how being prepared for natural disaster through this business continuity efforts can actually save your business. 80% of the companies, small businesses that were down at Ground Zero in New York City never came back because they didn't have a line of credit established with their banks. They didn't have all their vendors and supplier contact lists and a thousand mm-hmm. little things that you can do for free that can ensure that you can save, you know, that you can recover, if you can come back from a disaster. And so
right.
we worked with the American Red Cross for the last 3 years to put on an event that helps educate the local business community, the small and medium-sized businesses, about what they can do relatively mm-hmm. on the cheap that can make the difference of whether or not they survive a natural disaster.
Wow, wow, that right there is a bonus, what you're just talking about now. Very, very cool and very important work there as well. We do have some more questions, and a few folks that are listening in the D.C. area wants to know, are there still tickets available, or are they all gone?
Well, they're almost all gone, so I would suggest going to the Red Cross website. That's american.redcross.org. And purchasing a ticket right away, because it's going to be a pretty full house and it's going to be a great night. And I think you should go ahead and buy your tickets today or tomorrow, because otherwise you might miss out.
You might miss out, yeah. For some reason, Joe, when I saw it posted on Facebook, and I saw it sort of, you know how when you post something it starts to make the rounds, and I saw how many people were writing on the wall and quite excited about the event, I knew that you guys weren't going to have any problems selling those tickets, because it's just a wonderful event to go to anyway. Now, I guess I should say this. So for those of you that are interested in going, if they don't have any more tickets, I'm sure if you check the calendar, they probably have other events that they do throughout the year that you may be interested in. Or also, you can just, Joe, I'm sure they can just make a donation to the D.C. chapter anyway, even if they decide not to go to the event, right?
Absolutely. The Red Cross is, there's no such thing as a too small or too large of a gift.
Right. I kind of figure that. So, Joe, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on with me. And I had mentioned to you via email that I personally just know of all the wonderful work that the American Red Cross does, which is why I kind of bugged you a little to be on the show tonight. Plus, it was, you know, something fun in connection with the Oscars. So, unfortunately, I won't be able to be there at the event, but I'm sure you guys have got some other events that are going to be coming up, and I'd love to come out and partake and participate in some of the events and help raise money for the D.C. chapter.
Well, it's my pleasure to be on the show, and I appreciate you giving us the attention, man. I think the Red Cross needs to make sure that everybody is part of their community and helps the Red Cross help their neighbors.
Absolutely. And again, everyone, that is Joe Carden, who was kind enough to be with us tonight from the American Red Cross Association National Chapter Region in D.C. And again, Joe, thank you so much, and much success to the Oscar event.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you again. And again, that event is taking place, although you heard Joe, they really don't have any more tickets, but you can try. You can go on to their website, and that information, I do believe, is inside the chat room. Also, it's on my show information, so you can find it there as well. So you may be lucky today if you go on and tomorrow, but Joe says that the tickets are pretty much gone, but I don't want to discourage you and have you not go on and try, because there may be a couple of them left. But keep in mind, the money that is raised for this goes to help a lot of the problems and things that go on in the D.C. area that need help with. So the fundraising that they do there is very, very, very important. And if you are looking for the information, if you're on Facebook, the information is also on Facebook. I'm sure if you started typing in American Red Cross, I guarantee you the information will come up there. So we look forward to all of you that are going to the event, and also that I hope all of you have a great time with the event. So we are actually a little bit early on schedule. My entertainment co-host and producer, Michael Kay, is going to be joining me. I do believe he is here on the line. So if Michael's on the line, we would love to have him on. So Michael is just back from New York City. He covered the Indie Soap Opera Awards. Michael, how was the award ceremony? Tell us all about it.
Well, it was pretty fantastic, I will have to tell you. I didn't know quite what to expect when I arrived there. I mean, New York is a fantastic city. I didn't quite expect the snow and the cold, mind you. And we did have a lot of fun with rearranging hotel rooms. But the Indie Soap Awards is a fantastic organization founded by Roger Newcomb, which hopefully he'll be going ahead and calling in a little bit later. But wonderful, wonderful event with multi-Emmy Daytime Emmy Award-winning actors and actresses there. Finally met Steve Silverman. That was fantastic. Met Terry Simmons, Brett Silverman. A wonderful event, Victoria. I so wish you could have been there. It was a hoot and a holler. Had a fun time with Miss Erin Brown from Hot on the Red Carpet. And we had a great time.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Indie Awards itself. So it basically deals with web series awards and also soap operas?
Yeah, it's kind of a cross between. The web series that are independently produced by people like Steve Silverman, who are independently funded by foundations like Kickstarter, everything's operating on a shoestring budget, but everybody pools together, produces these shows of top-notch quality, and this was an amalgamation of the best of the best, the best of the indie web series events. The Soap Awards are basically, Roger Newcomb is a huge fan of the soaps, has watched soaps for 1,000 years. Him and Damon Jacobs have watched soaps since the age of 14, so they had a lot more information than I certainly did. But right now, Brad, my videographer, are going through editing, and Vic, you have no idea how many famous people we actually interviewed. I have to say, as a producer with my, you know, panache for getting the details out, I had no idea who he was talking to most of the time, but these were sincere actors and actresses with great credentials, so I was truly honored, and actually I phoned Roger a few hours ago just to go ahead and thank him for the opportunity to have At Home with Victoria there, and fantastic people, absolutely.
Now, Michael, I don't know if you're able to look at the board. We do have a couple of people that are there online, so I'm not sure if one of those numbers is a Roger calling them, but if it is, you're more than welcome to have him join in on the conversation. I'm not sure what his number is, but as we try to figure out if that's Roger joining us on At Home with Victoria tonight, I had the opportunity to see some of the video footage, and I have to say this was a young lady that was there, and she had her own camera crew, and she did a very cool shot of the media. And there was our Michael Kay there interviewing, and I don't know the name of the soap star, but if you saw her face, I'm sure all of you would know exactly who she is because she's been on that particular soap for quite some time. And you look so professional, so wonderful, but more importantly, you look like you were having a good time.
I was. The video that you saw was actually from Martha Byrne. She was the host of the entire event itself. Actually, the 609 number is actually my videographer, Bradley, that's calling in, too. We have 7 minutes until Mr. Newcomb goes ahead and joins us. But I had a great time. Everybody was so fun. There was a free wine bar, and you would have been very proud of me. I didn't have any wine until after the entire thing, because we all know how Michael loves a Chardonnay. But, you know, I just couldn't. There was too many people to keep absolutely straighten your head. It wasn't a guessing game kind of a thing. And our favorite web series, Pretty, won actually two for Best Ensemble and for Best Song. So it was a magical evening, absolutely.
And of course, again, congratulations to Steve Silverman and the entire cast of Pretty. We are very, very big fans of theirs, and they are at Home with Victoria. So anytime Steve and the cast of Pretty gets involved in anything, and more importantly, wins anything, you know, we are just as excited for them here at Home with Victoria, I'm sure, as Steve Silverman was very excited to be there. And speaking of Steve Silverman and speaking of you, in the video, the both of you clean up very well, I must say.
Well, I thank you. I had on my big girl clothes, and I had my man girdle on, and it was pretty funny because, of course, you know, you got to suck everything in, no lumps and bumps kind of a thing. But, it was a super time. I had a great time.
Yeah, well, you look really, really good. So if you were able to describe what that experience was like for you on the red carpet, because this was your first time having the opportunity to interview on the red carpet. So what was that like? I mean, is it a rush or was it an exhilarating feeling? Describe it.
You know what? It was ecstatic. It was absolutely electric. The energy in the room was a bunch of people who were so excited to be part of this groundbreaking pioneer media level, because web series until just recently have kind of just gone by the wayside. Everybody has their YouTube videos, but now there's a proper forum and a proper recognition for it. And it was exciting. I've never been part of – there were seven other media outlets there besides us. And we were on the very last part of the carpet. So Erin Brown was right beside me, and then there was a person in front of her. And then there were roamers, people just walking around with their cameras, interviewing people as they go. So I'm certain as the week progresses, you're going to go ahead and see a lot more video. Everything was just on fire. Even Bradley can go ahead and tell you. It was just very exciting to have everybody come through, even if you didn't know who the hell they were, kind of a thing. But it was fantastic on so many levels, Victoria. I'm so very proud, and I hope I do you proud. Brad and I have been editing the video right now until showtime, which is kind of funny, but everything was really fantastic. I highly recommend it for anybody. You've done a lot of these, though. You must be a veteran to them. Everything doesn't fluster you. I was a little nervous.
I have. I mean, you know, being in the I have been in television news for at least 17 years. So I have done many red carpet events. And one thing that I love about the red carpet events, and you touched on it a little bit, is the energy, because it's just, you know, it's just this great energy when you're there. Because first of all, when you get there to the event, everyone is really happy, because there, you know, everyone's feeling fresh, they're happy, everyone's really looking good, and plus, you know, the verdict really is still out on who won what. So everybody goes into it with this great attitude, and then of course as the evening goes on, you know, everyone, of course, is still happy when it's over, but it's a different feeling when the award ceremony starts, because, you know, nobody has been pronounced a winner as such of anything yet. And that made me think about covering campaigns is totally different covering sort of like a red carpet awards event, because covering campaigns, as you can imagine, if you cover a campaign and the candidate has won, it's very cool to cover that event, because you've got all the pomps and circumstances, you've got the music, the crowd is electric,
right.
You know, everyone's chanting in the back and waving, but, you know, contrast that to if you cover a candidate who lost. You know, it's very quiet, they start turning the lights off. So I just thought about that, because I've always, for some reason, mostly covered candidates who lost as opposed to winning. And it is just a complete different feel on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was very, very much the same there. I met up with some of the winners and some of the not-so-winners afterwards. And the energy changes from person to person. But again, just to be nominated, everybody's so very proud to go ahead and be on board at this ground level. Because this is actually what I find to be so interesting. It is the ground level of new media, Vic. It is a brand new section of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And the bonus part, everybody I talked to, I asked similar questions as to how this media compares to classic television media. And a lot of them said they love the availability of it. Anybody can download it at any time. You don't have to follow a program. Mondays at 7, Tuesdays at 9.
Yeah.
Everybody just has the opportunity to follow it. So you build a more loyal fan base, because people actually have to click to download to watch the episode. So it really is a different medium of journalism and television.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of that, before my show started, I was on another show in the Baltimore area, WEAA. I think it's 95.3. Deborah Owens has a show, and I'm taking part in a women's conference in March in Baltimore to basically motivate women out there who are in businesses or want to be in businesses. And I'm doing a workshop on media, And I'm talking about how to use the new media to your advantage in branding your business and connecting and networking and all of those good things. So we were just talking about that very same thing that you just mentioned about that whole indie award being recognizing this sort of new media out there. And that made me think about the Oscars, because before you came on, of course, I was talking to Joe Carton, who is with the D.C. chapter of the American Red Cross, and they put on, this is the fourth year they've done it, they put on this great ceremony where they have a very cool dinner. They have all these flat screens up at this very cool museum of women in D.C., and they have let the Oscars play while they're there. So I thought about that contrast to the Oscars as something that is sort of a tradition with the Academy, and now you have the Indy and Soap Awards, which is something that is fairly new, but I'm sure if you fast forward that, you know, I don't know, 50 or 60 years from now, you know, hopefully or perhaps that may be equivalent to the Oscars. So I just think it's great that that organization actually started it because new media and awards and all those things, they have to start somewhere.
Absolutely. And talk about being new to New York and new to this industry. Brad, our videographer, was very first time in New York for him. It was it was wonderful. New York for the first time is very magical to me. I remember my first time in New York. It's still magical at 42. I can't believe what it is at, you know, in mid-20s. But Brad had a really wonderful take on it. And I think we should go ahead and bring Brad in.
Yeah,
Brad's here. Let me go ahead and bring him on the line. Just go ahead and Mr. Bradley, you're live on At Home with Victoria with Michael and Victoria. How was New York for you?
Oh, man. It was cold.
It was cold.
Besides it being cold, Brad, was that also your first experience in as a videographer covering a red carpet event like that? What was that experience like for you?
It was fun. It was different, and I think Michael did a good job though. He's got talent with interviewing people, so made it fun.
You're just saying that because I'm upstairs.
No, Brad, I know Michael does have talent because I'm telling you, if this guy didn't have talent, he wouldn't be my entertainment co-host and I wouldn't have had him join my team and certainly wouldn't have had him go up to New York to do interviews for At Home with Victoria. But Brad, so let me ask you this question because everybody, Brad is sort of a youngster here on At Home with Victoria, but he has been with Michael covering some of our events that's taking place in Delaware and also New York. So, Brad, when you were out there on the red carpet, is it sort of like a feeling of being alive with all the sort of flurry of all the other videographers and reporters there too?
Yeah, it is. It's like a competition. You got to get in there before they do. You got to get the good spot. Get the good people.
Yeah, he is absolutely right. And Michael, that was one thing that you and I did not talk about is the, the competitive aspect of it too. So it definitely is competitive because you always want to make sure that whoever sort of the top people are, that you want to make sure that you too get those interviews from them as well, and you don't leave empty-handed. So good point, Brad.
It was fantastic how he went ahead. We didn't even get to pick for positions, so there was, like I said, 7 media outlets there, and so we ended up being last on the red carpet, which I was kind of bummed about because I kind of wanted to be in the middle. But last place is beautiful because you happen to get the best of the bottlenecks. Erin Brown, a couple times I had to say to Erin Brown, don't bogart the guests, Erin, because she would go into these details. And we had a nice light banter, and I got some fantastic people. And like I said, multi-award-winning Daytime Emmy winners. It was truly fantastic. And going through the video now, that I'm so sorry if I sound a little jogged, but a little tired, and Brad and I are working on this because I want to get it out by morning. Fantastic interviews with these people who are veterans in their business. Such talent. You have no idea, Victoria. What was the biggest event you ever covered, Victoria?
I guess I would say I've covered so many, but I guess I would say, do you mean red carpet-wise? Because the biggest event I covered was was President Barack Obama's inauguration and the events in D.C. So I would say that's the biggest. But if you mean a red carpet, I would say there was an event that I covered in Chicago when I worked in the Midwest, and it was, I can't think of the name of it, but it was one of those events that they had all of these stars and celebrities that came to Chicago, and I covered that event. So that event was really interesting, because the good thing about that, I had some producers, so I had at least two or three producers that were there on hand that could sort of run back and forth and bring the guests to me, so I didn't have to really do that. But I would say that Chicago event was probably one of the biggest one, red carpet ones that I covered.
Wow, that's fantastic. I want to make mention, actually, Victoria, I have Roger actually phoning in. I'm going to go ahead and bring Roger on the line. This is at home with Victoria. Roger, thanks for joining us tonight, especially. I know you're exhausted just like I am, but fantastic event. And once again, thank you for having At Home with Victoria there to cover it. I appreciate that.
Oh, it was our pleasure, and at some point I'll be able to sleep.
Me too.
Hi, Roger.
I can't remember when the last time I slept.
Hi, Roger. It's Victoria Gaither, the host of the show. And again, I personally, again, do want to thank you so much for allowing us to be there on the red carpet to cover the event. So, Roger, tell us a little bit from your perspective, if you can, how the event went. We threw the words around magical and lively that Michael talked about, and just being wonderful. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we were, 30 minutes before arrivals, I want to say, we were still putting down the red carpet, the chairs weren't in place, there was no stage, and I was just kind of stressed out. And at one point, the check-in guys were helping move a couch, and people were arriving, and Michael came over and started checking people in. And it sort of summed up the whole spirit of everybody coming together for, and working together. That's sort of why we love promoting these shows, is because the people are such creative, talented people, and they do so much with, like, no budget. And I can only imagine what any of these folks could produce if they had, the budget of, like, a TV series. It really was a magical event. It was surreal for my business partner at We Love Soaps, Damon and myself. We were sitting in the front row and just looking at each other every time somebody would come on stage, whether it was, a daytime star we grew up loving, or somebody who was moved to tears when they won an award. It was just, we couldn't believe we created that. And it really was. And we heard a lot of feedback from people new people that are creating their first show to people that have starred on daytime soaps for 30 years who really were inspired by it, they said. And it kind of gave them hope for the future, because especially the daytime stars, when I was a kid, there were, 12 to 20 of these shows on the air.
Right.
And now they're down to 6. And so a lot of their jobs are going away. A lot of them have invested their entire careers in it. And they're finding new homes on the web as well. So it was really great to see those folks mixed with the really cool up-and-coming young producers and writers and actors from the other shows. And I saw so many people exchange cards, people talking about crossovers among their shows. It was really a big networking thing, and that was kind of one of our goals, is to connect some of these people, because some are in New York and L.A., but others are in Toronto. There's a show that was represented that was from Nashville, Tennessee, which is where I'm from, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people never really have a chance to get together, so it was great to see that.
And, Roger, something that we were talking about, I think, before you called in, and prior to all of you guys coming on and we talking about the Indie Awards, I had a gentleman on from the American Red Cross, and they hold this really big, very cool fundraiser on an Oscar party. But Michael and I were talking about a tradition, and we were saying that it's very cool, for example, like your event, how it really is sort of groundbreaking and making history, in the sense that, you guys have created this award ceremony for a new type of series that's actually taking place right now, sort of in the television and also more so social networking. So I was saying that I probably can see one day how the Oscars had to start out somewhere. So, you know, fast forward maybe, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, you know, the Indie Award ceremony will be something that will be very, very big because you've got to start from somewhere.
Well, you know, the daytime soaps were never really represented with their own show until the mid-70s. And there would sometimes be a daytime actor mentioned in the primetime Emmys. But in the mid-70s, they got their own show. And I can't remember what the first year was. The second year was on a boat, like a small boat, floating around the Hudson. I think it was, I can't remember if it was Monty Hall or who hosted it. But the show grew and grew and grew. And I think it was Kim Zimmer who told me, who's won multiple Emmys, and she was on Guiding Light forever, and now she's on One Life to Live. And she also stars on Steamboat, one of the web series. She said, this reminds me of the early daytime Emmys when it was industry people and everybody was really tight-knit and supportive and together. And it sort of grew. You know, I think when things grow and become bigger and, you know, they sort of lose that intimate, you know, really special feel sometimes. She kind of compared it to that, like the early days of the daytime Emmys.
Interesting.
Got a question for you, Roger. How did you and Damon start up We Love Soaps? What's the story behind that?
I started this site a few years ago. We do love soaps. We both grew up watching daytime soaps with our moms, and I mean primetime soaps as well, like Dallas and Knots Landing and Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love the press about soaps. When I was growing up, there were so many different soap magazines, and a lot of them have gone away. And they would do these in-depth interviews and stories and features, and it sort of in the last 2 decades sort of became, if you look at like the magazines, they sort of became all about spoilers, and they have some brilliant writers, but they really don't have that many pages to dedicate to interviews or features about, you know, the actors are really getting to know people behind the scenes or in front of the camera. So we really love to do that. I wanted to start a site that I could really dedicate to, you know, promoting some of the people I've loved my whole life, you know, great actors,
mm-hmm.
and doing some more in-depth interviews and analysis of the shows, and also really honoring the history of the shows. We interview a lot of people from the past, and we also post a lot of classic articles and things that sort of tie what people were saying 30 years ago to what's happening today. And things tend to repeat. And, in the early 50s, people were saying soap operas are never going to catch on television. Women listen to these on the radio. Nobody's ever going to. They're doing it when they're listening to them when they're doing housework. They're never going to sit on a sofa and watch a TV for soap operas. And it's 60 years later, and they're still on the air. And a lot of people have said people aren't going to sit at their computer and watch a soap opera. You know, and it's very similar. And we post a lot of classic articles that tie, you know, kind of what happened in the past to today. We also talk about, we're both gay men, we talk a lot about the social relevance of these shows and the diversity or the lack of diversity, and that's another reason why we really love these web series is they're so diverse and there's so many different voices being, you know, being given the ability to tell their stories, where, you know, a lot of shows on television, especially broadcast television, are really not that diverse, especially like daytime soap operas.
Well, and speaking of that, Roger, just to let you know, we do have a chat room, and we have our regulars in there, Marilyn Bennett and Linda, and also some guests, and Michael and I are in there. But we are putting your website down, so if anybody is interested in visiting the website, We Love Soaps, and all the information and the link is actually inside there. And we'll definitely make sure that because – I didn't even know about the website until Michael got involved with this, so I was kind of on there looking at your website today, and I must say it's a very, very good website, so I'm going to make sure I get the word out and tell all of my friends and our listeners and fans about the website because it's very well done. It's a nice website.
Thank you very much. I mean, and we do love soaps. I mean, we're really about the positive points. We really don't hammer home or focus on things that we may not like. You know, and it's just not our thing. We really want to focus our energy on the things that we do enjoy, and that's why we have a lot of coverage around these web series because we really do enjoy them.
Well, it is we did
tape the show. We're kind of going through all that video, and you know, we will be releasing the whole ceremony at some point in the next few days. on the web.
Fantastic. Let me ask a quick question too. How did you go about to find out? How did you determine the winners in each category? I'm always curious to know that. How did you pick who you found? What was the board like? What was the academy like? Do you have an academy? How did you determine the winners for last night's ceremony?
Well, you know, we watch these shows really closely throughout the year. We have an Indie Soap of the Week poll, so we sort of know what's happening each week on these shows and kind of follow them and take notes of what we like and don't like. And we also kind of have our pulse on what our readers, you know, care about. And we also work with some of the great folks that cover web series that we know, some of our peers in the industry, and kind of consult with them. And we all kind of come up with a list of nominees and cross-check to see if we missed anyone and, you know, sort of just pick what we enjoyed the most. And it's sometimes hard to judge these things because there are some people, I mean, there are lots of great actors, but sometimes an actor was in three episodes and they had, their scenes were like 2 minutes long and you think, wow, they're an amazing job. But then there are other actors who are their whole shows for 20 minutes an episode. And sometimes it's hard to compare, and for me it's sort of hard to compare comedy and drama as well, because there's some brilliant comedic shows as well. I think this year we had a good mix of that. And I don't know. I think when you see the show, the folks from Pretty, the series, were really hysterical. It's the funniest show. And then to see those folks come to the ceremony and be, you know, even more hysterical in person, it was great to see. We had a performer.
And all the way from California, too, buddy.
Yeah,
I mean,
they flew in from California. And Steve Silverman is the creator, producer, director. For web series, you tend to have a person who, like, has 10 jobs. you know, producer, creator, director, you know, everything. And behind it.
I've never heard of him before.
He's really brilliant. We had a performance of a song that they use on the show called Gumdrop the Unicorn. And his brother is the actual singer of it. Steve wrote the lyrics. Brett wrote the music. And he did this dramatic interpretation of the song, and it's hysterical. And it was really perfect for this type of ceremony.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, at home with Victoria is very familiar with everything Pretty and everything Steve Silverman.
Yeah,
it's just finally fantastic to meet him in the flesh.
Yeah, we're crazy, crazy, huge Pretty fans. But listen, we don't want to keep you any longer because I know you're extremely exhausted. But now that I know who you are, Michael always knew, but I'm being educated to you. I would love for you, when you have some time, to come back on, and maybe you can come back on with one of your favorite soap opera fans, and, you know, we can chat about soaps and do all that good stuff. So just continue to keep up the good work, because what you're doing, it is very, very important and very cool, too.
All right. Awesome. Great. I can't wait to talk to you guys again. You have a great night.
All right. Thank you so
much. Thank you so
much. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
That was very, very nice of him to call in. And, Michael, I know you are exhausted just as he is exhausted from that experience. But so you guys are working on the video, so you're going to try to have something posted by tomorrow by noon, Michael?
Yeah, Brad is on the line too. I want to give a special thanks to Brad for taking the absolute time to follow us at Home with Victoria to New York City. But yes, Brad and I will certainly have something up by morning. We are committed, and I think you're going to love it. We're also going to include a separate reel of bloopers, just of outtakes of myself making the same blunders, like I always say the word absolutely, like I always add all these tags. It's one of those things. I think you're all going to find it very, very good. So those will be posted on my site, or my wall, as well as on YouTube. But to not make mention of anything less, to remind us all of the daytime soaps, tomorrow, Victoria, is a very special night for us, with Joan Van Ark joining us tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern. Can you believe that's going to happen?
Yeah. I still have like shivers down my spine. I cannot believe that the one and only Joan Van Ark, that I will have the opportunity to talk with her tomorrow, and you will join in on the conversation. And of course, we have to thank that to Steve Silverman. He's the man that made it happen. So we're super excited about that. Super.
Absolutely. I can't wait. So, and then the day after, we have Terry Simmons. So it's going to be a whole big pretty week. So we're going to milk this pretty award-winning season to its end. I can't wait.
We can't wait. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. Well done, both of you, and we look forward to seeing the footage. And I guess you guys better go because you've got to get back to work, right?
You know we are. Thanks, Bradley. I really appreciate your help. And
thanks,
Victoria,
Bradley.
I miss you tons.
I know. I miss you tons, too. Okay, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. Let me finish up and you guys get back to work.
Bye-bye.
And again, that was Michael Kay and Bradley talking to us tonight about their trip, New York City. They were there to cover the Indie Soap Awards, and it was great having both of them there. So we're going to look forward to seeing the video. Michael promises that it's going to be up hopefully by the morning. I've already seen some of the video of him on the red carpet doing some interviews, and I must say he certainly did look sharp. But in any event, again, tomorrow's night show is Joan Van Ark. We're looking forward to that. Terry Simmons will be coming up after that. Then we've got some very cool shows that we are working for in March. So I want to thank all of you for taking the time to join us tonight on At Home with Victoria. We always appreciate your time. Continue to send us emails at homewithvictoria@yahoo.com. If you've got a story idea, you can always just email me personally or Michael Kay through Facebook, and we'll certainly see if we can make that happen. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Good night, everyone. I'm Victoria Gaither.